Well, this morning I want to just praise the Lord, first of all, for his mercy and grace toward us. Instead of judgment, what he has given the church is just more power to bring forth mercy upon the earth. Everybody else wants to condemn. We bring peace. Not just peace as the world knows it. Maybe we can't even do that. But we can give people the love of God that we found in our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's turn to John chapter 13. It's probably one of the hardest chapters to get through because there's so much betrayal going on in this particular chapter of Judas and how Jesus reacts to that and what he says to us. And what he is saying primarily is that we can get through it. He is going to give to us the peace that we need through times of betrayal, through times of controversy, through times of chaos. And he gives us some ideas of how to get through it. The first one that comes to my mind is prayer. Prayer isn't just saying words, is it? You all know that. It isn't repetitious, you know that. But it's actually a conversation with God, and particularly God the Father. We have a prayer conversation with him through Jesus, the only way to do that, and by the Holy Ghost which he has given to us. So what we have and what gives us the peace that we have amongst chaos, any chaos, is that prayer. Living, and prayer really is living with God. It isn't some place we visit, but we live there with him in his kingdom. So we're not of this world, but we're in his kingdom. And we have to remind ourselves of that by praying, by having that conversation with God and letting him speak to us prophetically in our daily walk. So maybe you're not going to get a word from Owen Carey or some other prophet, but you can get a word from the Lord in prayer. And you can judge it by whether it agrees with the word of God or not. And when you submit it to your brothers and sisters. So it's not something that you say, oh, I don't want to do that. Well, I think he should. Oftentimes the Lord says some very meaningful things to me, especially in the morning, like, I love you. Is that prophetic? Yeah, of course it is. He's saying it. I'm not saying it. He is. And once you get the idea that that's true, it changes your whole life. I remember the Gaithers were, you know, struggling to make their first song, and then they finally hit the big time. And what, you remember that song? The one that made them big was He Touched Me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And He touched me and I knew it. He touched me and he knew it. And he said, what made that song so popular and so changed their whole life was the fact that people realized that God isn't something far off, but God is a lifestyle, a living place that we can have, the kingdom of God. Well, Jesus was facing some pretty serious things in his life while he was on earth in John chapter 13. So let's start there. So Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from the world to the Father. So he prophetically knew what was going on. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Who said that this morning? Carmen. Remember you said that, Carmen? Yeah. He loved them to the end. So there's no place that he stops. People say, well, what is the end? Well, whatever you want to make it, doesn't matter. It's like he doesn't give up. Where we give up, he never gives up. He'll love us to the end. Isn't that good? Well, I want to stay there. I'm not moving from that place. That's a good place to be. Well, when the supper had ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. And a lot of the things he's talking about here are the things of the heart, not just ideas in the mind, but something that goes deep into the heart of the people that he's relating to. And there was some real problems with Judas. Well, how did Jesus respond to that? Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands and come from God and going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, and wiping them with a towel, which he was girded, And he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said, "Oh, I don't think so." And Jesus answered and said, "What I am doing to you now, you don't understand, but you will know after this. You will know." So there's times and things God's put in our lives that we may not understand. If you got it all figured out, let me know after the service. I'm glad to get that input. But we don't always understand. But obedience is what the Lord requires when we walk with him. Obedience to his word, not the word, written word by itself, but the living word of God. Obedience to that word. And that's what Peter responded to when he said, "You shall never wash my feet." But he said, Jesus says, "If you don't, I don't wash you. You have no part in me." So that was prophetically, he was saying that to him. And Peter responds by saying, "Okay, not my feet only, but my hands and my head." So he wanted his whole body to be in obedience to the word of God. And the word of God was, you got to do this if you want to be have part of me. In other words, you can't have a relationship with the Lord if you don't want to obey him. Now, there's many Christians that I have met that accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, but they haven't been obedient to him. So they have an illicit affair with someone, and they don't want to give it up. So I know this is wrong, but I just can't give it up. I just love this person so much. And I'm not married to him, but they can't seem to break away. Or they're addicted to alcohol, and they can't seem to break away. They're in love with cars, or whatever it might be that's holding you back. And they can't seem to break away. Well, that's when this is important scripture. Jesus says, everything that I am, please, Lord, let it be yours. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only be to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. So he's referring to Judas there. So he explains to them what they have done. He's done this by example to them, that they should also wash each other's feet, that they should go out of their way for someone who's not able to take care of themselves. They can't get out of their trap, whatever it might be. Don't give up on them. Jesus said he loved them all to the end, including Judas. Didn't say except Judas. Well, Jesus identifies his betrayer. He says, I do not speak concerning all of you. I know that the ones whom I have chosen, but scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats bread with me will be lifted up, and he will lift up his heel against me. Now, he was telling it before it comes. He says, I tell you this before it comes, and when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. A lot of prophecy is this. Not so you can understand what's going on and avoid a catastrophe necessarily, but after the trouble comes, you can say, oh yes, I remember the Lord did say that after the fact. So I often don't look to prophecy to give me an edge on what's going to happen in the future. I have never gotten a prophecy to say, buy stock XYZ. Never. When I go hunting for deer hunting, well, I used to do a lot of deer hunting, almost never did I get a prophecy saying, go over that ridge and the deer will be there. I just never remember that happening. It's a lot of hard work hunting, and that's the whole thing. Jesus says, I say to you, whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me, him who sent me. So there's something that Jesus is saying in the midst of all of this problem and stuff he's going to go through, that he's going to send us. It's going to be he who sends us. And you better listen to that. But Jesus, when Jesus has said this thing, it's an interesting scripture. He was troubled in spirit. Can you imagine Jesus being troubled? No, I'm not sure that's the right translated word there, but he was stirred up in his spirit that there's something that he wished he could change. There was something that was wrong. And so he was not necessarily pacing the floor and wondering what he could do. And that one thing wasn't just something that happened outwardly around him, but it was a betrayal of one of his disciples. What troubled the Lord the most, what made him not anxious, but made him stirred up in his heart was one of his chosen, who he'd poured his life into, decided to take the wrong way. Well, the disciples looked at one another perplexed about what he spoke. And there was one who was leaning on Jesus' bosom and said his disciples, one of his disciples, Jesus loved, Simon Peter therefore motioned to him and asked, which one? And he leaned back on Jesus' breast and he said to him, who is it? And Jesus said, it is he who shall give a piece of bread when I dip it in. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. After a piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, go quickly. But no one at the table knew, like, how would they, for the reason which he had said this to him. For some thought, maybe because Judas had the money box, he had something to do with it. So, having received the piece of bread, this is an interesting scripture. It says, he went out immediately, and it was night. It was darkness. He went out immediately and in darkness. When you leave the will and the purposes of God, you who are filled with his Holy Spirit, it's a dangerous place to go when you leave the obedience of God's word and do your own thing. He went and it was night. There was no light there. It was darkness. I don't want to go there. Jesus said, you know, in the midst of this, I'm going to give you another commandment. You've heard a lot of commandments from the Lord, but I'm going to give you another commandment which is going to help you through this time of trial when everybody seems to be going in the wrong direction and you're going in the one obedient to God. This is what I want you to do. He says, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God has glorified him, God will also glorify himself in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. Boy, I don't know how they could understand that statement without knowing the Trinity. You will seek me, and you will, and I, as I have said to the Jews, where am I going? You cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment. This is where you can go. A new commandment I give to you. This is not one that's in the Old Testament. That you should love one another, not as yourself, which is in the Old Testament, which the lawyers spoke to him, which they thought was one of the two greatest commandments. But it's this one, as I have loved you. And how has he loved them? By being with them. By not deserting, to loving them to the end. There's no stopping God's love. That you also love one another like that. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have that kind of love one for another. What an awesome tool and weapon as we pray for one another. We're not praying as the world prays. Oh Lord, just be as make them as comfortable as I am. No. Make them even more comfortable as you would make them comfortable in whatever they're going through. Well, we all think that, you know, if we just purpose strong enough in our heart, and I've heard a lot of people teach on this, if we just purpose hard enough, we'll make it through. And the answer to that is really, that's not true. Purpose, mental purposefulness isn't going to help you all that much. We rely upon the mercy and the grace of God more when we really know the mercy and grace of God. It isn't because how strong we purposely made it to be. Well, Simon Peter was in that place and he says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered to him, where I am going, you cannot follow, but you shall follow me afterwards. And Jesus said to him, Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for your sake. And Jesus answered him, you will lay down your life for my sake? But most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow until you have denied me three times. So there it is. That's what our strength can do. Almost nothing. So, I don't know. In the days gone by, almost everyone used to say, oh yeah, I'll be there tomorrow by the will of God. They would always end their sentences and or predictions about were their commitments if by the mercy and grace of our God. And the people don't even say that anymore. Christian, I never hear a Christian say that. So I'll see you tomorrow by the will and purposes of God. Nope, never hear them say that. It's not popular. But I'll tell you something, it should be popular. If you don't say it outwardly, you should say it inside, by the mercy and grace of God. Because anything can happen to us physically, but nothing can happen to us spiritually because he died for us. We will never die. Our mortal bodies may die, but we will never die. Not only will we never die, but we're going to heaven, not to eternal judgment. That's really awesome. So the world we live in, the kingdom we live in, is like not something that we should take lightly. So he says in the next chapter, let not your hearts be troubled. Well, his was. But it was not troubled like ours is troubled today. Even Christians that I hear speak about the things that are going on in the world, they're definitely not at peace. They're definitely troubled in spirit. Now, you probably remember, some of you should know, Dale's teaching is the heart refers to the spirit. When you talk in the book, it says the body, soul, and spirit book. That one, he says, well, heart is referring to the spirit. And that's true, but also remember the body, soul, and spirit, even though it can be divided into three parts, our being, it's actually one, too. It's one. Jesus doesn't say, okay, I'm just talking to your spirit now. And what happens to your spirit affects your soul and affects your body as well. So if you entertain the spiritual realm of darkness, like Judas did, and you finally came in him, wow, terrible possession to be possessed not by demons, but possessed by Satan himself. Not a place I want to be, ever. Then I have to be diligent to understand what Jesus wants from me and continue washing myself with the water of the word. I can hear Judas say, as he's going out into the darkness, when will Jesus ever learn? He gives expensive perfume and just throws it away and lets this girl wash his feet with perfume. Now he's washing himself, washing these disciples with a towel. For what reason? What kind of person is he anyway? And so the enemy comes in. The enemy comes in with the little things at first and then blows them up. And soon you believe a lie that should never have been entertained in the beginning. So it's important for us to know the Word of God and to live by it. So it said we should be faithful to one wife. I think that's probably something I'll keep. Cheryl's glad of that. And so am I. And so is the Lord Jesus. Anyway, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Talking about not the present, but the future. Because he's talking about where they're being troubled right now in this chapter is Jesus is talking like crazy. According to them, he's talking about betrayal and all these kinds of things. He says, Jesus says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, not just here, but in the future. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't it good he's going to prepare a place for you in heaven? Are you worried about that? No. I'm not going to be troubled about it anymore. It doesn't matter if there's another plague coming down the pike. It doesn't matter if there are riots. It doesn't matter of all these things because your place is in heaven. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Where are you going? To himself. Wow. Where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. That's prophetic because they didn't know that much. But you do today. Where I go, you know. Why do you know that? Because you go there when you're in prayer, when you're talking to him, when you're living your day with the Lord Jesus. You know where you're going, and you know the way there if you get lost, if you need help. Yeah, that's right. Thomas didn't know. Thomas said, oh, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't even know how. Jesus said the most profound words, I am the way. And if you're looking for the truth, Judas, I am the truth. Not found anywhere else. It's not found in the social gospel. It's not found in anything you want to contrive. I am the life. Life is not found in the last sports event you attended, or concert, or the last time you felt happy. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Now, there are a lot of people in this town of Kingston and surrounding areas that have no idea what I just said. No clue. I don't believe in God. At best, they're agnostic, and they don't know, and they don't know the way, and don't, will never know the way unless someone shows them and are led by the Holy Spirit. No one comes to the Father. So what's your ultimate goal? To be in the Father's will, to be by your Father in heaven. So Trinity is really preached here in big time. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. Sad statement for a lot of people, because they reject our Lord Jesus Christ. Not him as a person necessarily, but as God. You reject him, don't believe it, can't accept it, it doesn't seem logical to you, you're not going to know the Father. Well, the Father is an important thing in the whole universe. He created it with the Lord Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, as the Trinity. Jesus said, if you had known me, how could he expect the disciples to understand this? I will never know. Well, I will know someday. If you had known me, you would have known the Father also, Philip. And from now on, you will know him and have seen him from now on. So he's like opening up their eyes as he's saying these words prophetically to them. Philip said to him, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. I can see Jesus sighing here, rolling his eyes maybe. He says, I have been so long with you, and yet you don't know me, Philip. Listen, when he calls you by name, you better pay attention, right? If he were to say, Peter, immediately I'm going to respond. Isn't that interesting? You know, we used to draw blood in early morning. I don't know why that's sort of like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm down at St. Luke's in Newburgh, and I'm learning how to draw blood and everything else. And I had to draw maternity first, and then went down to the poor kids and pediatrics and all that kind of stuff. And finally get up to the geriatric section. I think it was on the 5th floor or maybe the 4th, some on the 3rd. And these old guys would be asleep. And it says on their wrist, Jim Smith. You can say, Mr. Smith, I'm here. I have to draw some blood. Nothing. Nothing. Say it again. Nothing. Say, Jim, what? People respond to their first name like crazy. It reminds me of the scripture where it says, you weren't born of men. Don't even think about it. You were born in the Spirit. You're denying, when you come into the kingdom of God, you deny your parents' right to you as a child. You're really now a child of God. That doesn't mean you shouldn't be obedient to your parents. I'm not saying that. But it's like a wonderful thing to be owned by God. He calls you by name. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? I might interject, you crazy person. Now, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. What does he do? The works. Jesus didn't do the works alone. He did it with the Father. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe in me for the sake of the works themselves. They're real. You want to believe in something that's real. These things are real. And when you're in the church worshiping this morning, I hope you realize that your worship goes before the throne of God, and it is real. It cannot be false. The testimony in your heart knows that this is real. It is not fake. None of you worship the Lord in fakeness this morning. And as I watched Paul play the songs, joy, 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 I said, oh, God, bless this brother. Because he is leading us into a place that we need to be. We need to know the city not made with hands, not made by the will of men. You were not made by the will of your father, natural father, but you were made by the will of God. And the will of God knew you even before you were born. Well, good. So what's going to help us get through the perilous times? Our relationship with the Father and prayer. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. So you're now conscripted into his army. Greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Why did he go to the Father? To send us the Holy Spirit. He died on the cross for our sin, but he went to the Father and sat on the right hand, that he would send the Holy Spirit so that at Pentecost the church could be born, and you would be able to do those kinds of works. So you can heal sick people. Pray for them, and they shall recover. Is that right, Christoph? Yeah. What a testimony. He wasn't the only one. They shall recover. Don't give up on that. Don't somehow say, oh, this is like way too much for me. Don't grow weary of doing good, the scripture says. So if you're weary, go to somebody with it. And get some of that stirred up, the Holy Spirit within you. Because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. That's like in his name purposes, /purposes, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Not that you're going to be glorified, and you will ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. Wouldn't you like to be there? I've asked a lot of things in the Lord's name, and not all of them came true. But he answered them. He answers prayer. There's a country song that goes like this. I thank God for unanswered prayer. It's about a guy who goes back to his class reunion, high school class reunion, and he meets his old girlfriend. He says, thank God for unanswered prayer. Because it wasn't the girl he married, obviously. Well, we don't know how many times the Lord rescues us from disaster, because we only see in part. God knows the beginning before the end. He will love us to the end. I thank you, Carmen, for sharing that word this morning. Now, here's the condition. Here's the catch. Here's the unavoidable process. That we're being conformed to the image of Christ. How? You will love me if you keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, Lord, we love you. I can hear Peter say that, right? We love you. We're sticking it out. We're purposed to do it. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, because, Peter, you need this. It's not by your own purposes and, you know, strength of resolve. Yeah, but he'll give you a helper. And we have here in this room the helper already. The church has been born. So he's been given to us, not just partially, he's been given us to be baptized, submersed into, and living with the Holy Spirit every day in our heart. The Spirit of God is there, quickened with us, that he may abide with you forever. There's never going to be a time when you're going to be without him. The Spirit of truth, he will never guide you into falsehood, whom the world cannot receive because they don't understand him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. They don't see it, don't know it. Sound like anybody you know? Probably a lot of people. But you know him. That knower in you said, no, I know what's true. And it is true. You know, I was first dating my wife. Somebody said to her, I don't know. I think I love her. And the person said to me, that knows me really well, says, either you do or you don't. Well, I do. Well, then what's the problem? Because there's a knowing inside. Right? And that knowing thing is not broken very easily. The Spirit of truth, whom the world can't know or receive, and can't know him. But you know him. He dwells in you and will be in you. This is a great verse. I will not leave you as orphans. You might say, I will never leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So who's saying this physically? Jesus Christ, while he was walking through the earth. Who's he talking about? Talking about the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, I'm the same thing. He already said he was the Father, an exact representation of him. So the Trinity can be all said in one word, Jesus. And that's where you get the Jesus-only group. But they did, I don't know if they really like the Trinity concept at all. But both are true. Then Jesus said to them some more disturbing words. He says, a little while, the world will no longer will see me no more, but you will see me because I live, and you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father. There's going to be a time when you absolutely will know. And you know in me, and I in you. Wow. And he who has my commandments, he repeats what he said before. He who has my commandments, who obeys his commandments and keeps them, it's he who loves me. Now let's go back and try to understand this word commandment. Commandment isn't looking back in the Old Testament and looking back and say the commandments are you must keep the Sabbath holy or you must X, Y, Z, whatever you want to call it, that list of do's and don'ts. The commandments of the Lord are what he's speaking to you, the living word of God. And he may speak them to you through the word of God, actual written word, but you can also speak them to through another person. Now, you won't want to hear this, but sometimes he can speak to you through an unbeliever. Because God is not limited in how he can speak to you. He can speak to you through creation, as he does to me often. But he who keeps my commandment, that's who loves me. So you can prove God, not only prove God, but he says the definition here of the love of your love is going to be obedience. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Yeah. Well, that's a good place to be. Want to stay there for a while? I will love him. Who is he talking about? Him, Jesus, or him, Father? And make myself manifest to him. Yes. Wow. Well, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, who is it that you may manifest yourselves to? Why is it that you would do that to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered, if any man loves us, he will keep my word. Again, love keeping the word. And my Father will love him. Now listen to this. I took this one to bed with me the other night. And we will come to him and make our home with him. So where is Jesus' home? You. Wow. Where is the Father's home? You. Where does the Holy Spirit live? You. This is crazy stuff. Why would anybody believe this? Because you know it's true. You know the way, and you know how to get there. You've been there. When you enter in the fullness of worship, and prayer, communion with God, there's no turning you back. There is no lie the enemy can give to you that you will follow, because you will know his voice. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Now with all of this, remember what's getting back about being letting your hearts be troubled. This is all about, all this prophetic word, this is the most troubled time for the disciples, don't you think? They kind of knew by now something big's going to come down. Things are never going to be the same. I hear that a lot these days. Things are never going to be the same. I can remember Dale and Bertha sitting there, Dina and Ray sitting there, Ida Hempel sitting over there, and the worship and the music was like filling this place like crazy. And I could say, it'll never be the same. You know, that's a crazy thought. It's not supposed to be the same. Every day that we live is a wonderful adventure in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not one of sorrow and remorse. We can find ourselves in the strangest places and know the joy of the Lord. And I've said this before, that Sister Teresa, yeah, Mother Teresa, said it to one of her underlings who wanted to go with her to Calcutta, one of the worst ghettos in the world. And she asked him, why do you want to go? Because I want to serve and I want to make a difference. And she said, well, Sister, you're going to need the joy of the Lord a lot more than that. You're going to need the joy of the Lord. How wonderful it is that we have that joy. If you want to know what the enemy's primary tactic is for Christians, is to steal their joy in the trials that they face. Now, Crystal may have found herself in a place she didn't even know where she was, right? But her joy was still there in the Lord. And the Lord made himself manifest to her to prove it. Not that she needed it, because he loved her. Why did he do it? Because he loved her. Why does he do it with us? Because he loves us. Every one of us. He makes us our home. You guys, just let that sink in. Take it home with you. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the world which you hear is the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father sent me. Then he says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. So all this is prophetic in a lot of ways. So again, he's talking about when you look back after Jesus is crucified and after the church is born, they're going to look back and finally write this down. Do you realize that Jesus is one of the major philosophers, if nothing else, that never wrote a word on a piece of paper? And he was educated to do that. Every Jewish boy knew how to read and write. In the other cultures of the world, that just simply wasn't true. Only the kings and rulers knew how to read and write. But in the Jewish nation, every male knew how to read and write. So he knew how to do it. Why didn't he write this down? Did you think about it? I didn't think about it. I thought, well, that's just the way it is. But I think purposely he didn't write it down, because the very word that he would write down would be worship, and not his will and purposes in the earth today. Because people do that. The early church would take the hands of the saints and they'd take them off of the body, and that would be part of the artifacts of God and make a church cathedral around them. You can go to cathedrals in Europe and almost every one of them have an quote-unquote artifact. And it's in a little booth, something like that. And they keep it in a holy place in the church. I thought, how terrible. So you imagine if he did write it down, something, well, these are the exact words that Jesus wrote down, they would be worshipped instead of God himself. Men are really crazy. You can quote me on that. If there's a way to go the wrong way, we will find it. This morning I watched, I'm not trying to be overly critical, but I am critical in this. I watched a church streaming, and it was one of the main denominations of the world today. And as they went through the prayers and they went through the ritual of lighting the candles and all that kind of stuff, I thought, where do they worship? Where is the worship? Where is the heart of God in bringing you to home? That place where we know, the place where we want to go. I said, I don't want to go to this altar. I want to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't need an altar to get there. He said, I've given you this. He says, but the helper, what is our hope? It's not in our purposefulness. It's not in somehow other people. It's not in anything, but our helper, the Holy Spirit, whom God has sent in my name. He will teach you all things. What's his things he's going to do? He's going to teach you. Do you know all things? No. But he'll be there, and he knows all. And he'll bring you to remembrance all the things which I said. So he didn't need to write it down, because the Holy Spirit was given for that exact same purpose. Almost done. Please, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you, not as the world do I give to you. And he repeats it himself. Do not let your hearts be troubled in that way. In the here and now, not in the future. He's talking about right here and now. Peace be with you. Let not your heart, your spirit, somehow be troubled. Because if everything else is failing, your body's failing, your soul has like been ripped out of your away from you, there is still the peace of God, the resident, and will never be taken away from you in your heart. The Spirit of God is still there. Neither let it be afraid. And what's the big deal now? Not only are they troubled, but they're afraid. people that are afraid the most sometimes are Christians that have fallen away, as they well should be. You have heard me say to you that I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you will rejoice of this, because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Why are they going to rejoice? Because he's sending his Holy Spirit. Without that, they only know Jesus in the flesh. And only a few people can know him in the flesh. But everyone through the ages can know him in the Spirit. No one is exempt. You can bring the gospel of peace to anyone, anytime. I love it when God goes ahead of me and rescues somebody. I said, this person will never enter the kingdom of God. If it were my kingdom, I would never let him in. That's what I'm saying. I heard this one quote. It says, after COVID-19 is gone, there's still some of you who want to keep you at distance. I said, who said that? What a terrible thing to say. We love each other, and there will be a day in which we can. I know the Prime Minister of England said there will be a day we can embrace one another again. There will be. Don't you not believe it? It will happen. So don't be troubled in the here and now. Neither be afraid. For you have heard me say to you, I'm going away and coming back to you. Well, what do you mean? If you love me, you will rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. The Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it does come to pass, you will not have any doubt, but you will believe. I am no longer going to talk much about this with you. For the ruler of the world is coming, but he has nothing in me. The world may know that I am, that I love the Father, and that as the Father gave me commandment to do so, that's what's going to happen. Arise, let us go from here. You can see that Jesus started this chapter, or chapter 13, and it said his heart was troubled. Troubled because of betrayal in his midst. It's, you know, there, we should never be so happy, you know, about someone leaving Christ. We should just somehow rejoice that they finally fell away. They're going to do it anyway. It's a troubling thing. If it was troubling for Jesus, it should be troubling for us. Yeah. We should speak a word every opportunity we can, even after the fact. His love never came to an end. And never does. So it says, he said his final words in his chapter, rise, let's go from here. At this point, he knows that what he has to go through, he will have peace. He may not have peace in his soul. He may not have peace in his flesh going through the crucifixion. And as he's praying to the Father in the garden, he's going to have struggles in his soul. But the peace of God that's in his spirit will never leave him. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. Two chapters you did today. You know, I'm really, just aside, I'm really happy and overjoyed that I can preach the Word of God, because it's for you, but it's also for me. It brings life to me when I study the Word and try to understand it. I don't know it all, but what I do know, I love it. I love it to the very end. So, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day that you have brought us through the plague that affects this earth. For the moment of time that we're in, we never knew it was coming. Nobody predicted it, and even those that didn't know, really. But we know one thing that the world does not know, but this church knows, the kingdom of God knows, that your love is faithful to the end, no matter where we find ourselves. And that we're going to call home, where you live, in us. And Father, I pray that as we pray at night, whenever we pray to you during the day, and as we worship you during the day too, that you will remind us by your Holy Spirit, by visiting us, by giving us the prophetic word in our heart, that we would encourage ourselves and those around us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let your mercy and grace overtake us. In Jesus' name, amen.